The Volume.
Jenkins and Jones is brought to you by FanDuel. It's never been easier to play fantasy on FanDuel. Whether you love basketball, golf, soccer, or any other fantasy sport, there's a contest for every fan. FanDuel, more ways to win. Welcome to Jenkins and Jones on the Volume Podcast Network. As always, Jenkins and Jones is hosted by my best internet friends in the whole world. LeJethro Jenkins, a.k.a. John.
What's up, guys?
Dragonfly Jones, a.k.a. Tyler.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
I'm Cardi B, a.k.a. Mike.
Motherfucking Cardi.
I need a better white guy voice. Just using my out-of-the-box white guy voice. It's not, you know what I mean? You guys are like...
White guy voices aren't actually white guy voices. You know what I mean? Like, I mean... Maybe they are, but I think
they are.
I'm wrong. But like, Mike, I mean, what would be your white guy voice as a
hey
white
guys,
guy?
It's me, Mike.
And you don't talk like that.
No,
that's a white guy's voice for sure.
But I know guys who do talk fucking, like that.
For
though.
Sure.
I was about to say that that's a fucking Steve Buscemi impression right there. Like,
yeah,
like, you know, that's a Boardwalk right. Empire shit.
Right.
It is Monday, February 22nd. We got a shitload of stuff to get to on the podcast. We're going to be talking about WandaVision later. We're going to debut our new segment, the group chat, that we're super excited about. But first of all, we just watched Nets Clippers, and I'm scared of the fucking Nets, bro. I am, honest to God, scared of the Nets.
Bro, it's just, I don't know how to stop them. You know what I mean? If we go on a run where we can't get a bucket, we get down 10 or 15 of these guys. They don't have good defense, but I mean, they play pretty decent defense for three quarters without their best defender, Kevin Durant. You know what I mean? So
They see each other in the finals, the Lakers will have three possessions in a row where Wes Matthews is abusing the heel of the rim on 3-point attempts, and the Nets are going to score 19 points in those three possessions, bro.
I love how in the group chat, me and you were like, dude, they had like four turnovers until the fourth quarter, you know what I mean? And we were like, I don't know about these guys, they're pretty good. And Tyler's like, they might make it out the East. Like, like he's not taking the bait at all. This dude, like, Tyler hits the blunt.
I will say that the Nets look fucking incredible. You know, I'm not a hater there. But I will say that I am basically leaning on now that it always takes a year for teams like this to get in gear, right? Like, history has shown when you build all this talent together on a team, it usually takes a year for them to gel. And then, you know, that's when they fucking, you know, start running rings off. But that's basically all I've got is history, because these motherfuckers are doing some unprecedented shit right now.
They're
like, they have, yeah, they have the highest, they have the highest offensive rating ever right about now.
And the worst defensive rating.
And the worst defensive rating ever too. So this is going to be an interesting experiment, right? Does that shit really matter or not? I'm not saying they're fool's gold. I absolutely am impressed by them. Their time is absolutely coming. I'm not sure if it's going to be this season,
though. Who's going to beat them in the East, though?
He's
saying it because of history.
Okay, but what you see, you don't see a team better in the East right now.
Unless Embiid goes for 60 a night. You know what I mean? Like,
Embiid been looking good, man.
I mean, he had a 50 ball. Incredible.
He had a 50-piece nugget, you feel me? And people looking great. But, yeah, they're so hard to stop. And that's the thing. They're impossible to stop, but they have the ability to stop others. You know what I mean? If a team gets cold, then it's just, yeah.
Like I said, they're one of those teams where everyone makes them look invincible and every loss makes them look super vulnerable, right? Like, I still don't necessarily have a – legit full read on this Nets squad. They definitely impressed me. Like I said, I don't know if they're going to win it this year, but they're definitely going to get some rings in the future. So, I mean, I'm just not sure where I'm at this season on.
You see the Celtics give up like a 20-some point lead?
Yeah.
I actually was watching that game and fell asleep. I saw Zion had like, I think Zion had like 5 or 4 in the first half. Least scoring first half of his career, maybe at least the season. And I'm like, I'm talking about like dummy sleep. Like your neck is worse than 90 degrees. Like my shit was down. My shit, you know what I mean?
When that like, motherfucking neck muscle be bulging like a
motherfucker. I woke up hurt, you feel me? I just knew it.
You fell asleep with your ear pointed at your butt cheeks. Yeah,
right,
for sure.
Right, right. It was like, you know what I mean? But yeah, man, what's going on? The Celtics blowing these leads like that, man. Y'all too good for that. They too solid for that. But yeah, that was interesting.
I have no idea. The Celtics just do not have that synchronicity or rhythm that they had the last few seasons, right? Like Jaylen took a huge fucking step this season, right? Like if you told me Jaylen Brown was going to take the step he did this season, I'd be like, okay, well, the Celtics going to get the one seed out the East. Who's stopping them?
Jaylen Brown could have been a starter in the East this year. And it wouldn't, and nobody would have questioned it.
Jaylen has taken a
ridiculous season. You know what I mean? He's that good. Season. Yes. Yeah. But I don't know. Like, we talk about Edwards, you know, like we said, like, I don't know what it is, but that motherfucker got all of it. You know what I mean? Whatever it is, you know, so you said what?
Yeah. So, okay. Let's talk about the dunk of the at least year.
Okay.
Dunk of the half decade. I mean, you know what I mean?
Are we going to go that far?
It was crazy.
It was a special, incredible dunk. But I mean, we see these aliens do shit like this pretty consistently. You know what I mean? That was a beautiful dunk, though.
There's that snapshot that we've all seen where it looks like there's no fucking way he dunks this.
But
he did. Right?
Like he's going to throw it. Like he has to throw it in there. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like,
if you, what puts it over the top for me is a leg drop, bro. I mean, you know what I mean? Like he nutted all over him. I mean, it was the dunk. The dunk itself was great, but then he just pulled into the ground.
My boy had victim written all over him in that picture too, dog.
Everything about it said, dog,
this is not the shooter. He got shot. You know what I mean?
Was I the only one rooting for the basketball to hit him in his face? It was so close. So close. Imagine if we got that. Imagine the basketball
worldwide wild brain where you see the most smallest thing find the hilarity in it, bro.
He probably felt the air from the basketball like in his ear, like it was that close, bro. We almost had that.
That would have made that moment perfect. But I mean, the dunk was crazy. But what was interesting about the moment wasn't necessarily the dunk.
No, hold on. The dunk was great.
The dunk was great, and the dunk was ridiculous.
Great underselling.
I hate this about Twitter. Something dope happens, something crazy happens, and then 40 seconds later, all we can do is talk about some asshole's stupid fucking opinion on Twitter.com. So before we do that. I just want to say the dunk was fucking great, and we would have talked about it on the podcast even without Nate Duncan's stupid fucking opinion being attached to the tail end of it.
The man saw all this fun on the timeline and was mad because people weren't doing math.
Bro.
Like, bro. Do you see the stats, though? Did you see the fucking
Tyler, what was the tweet, bro? What did he said he was like...
He said, motherfucking Ant with the Ant Edwards with the dunk of the year. He's also 3 for 14, 0 for 7 from three for 7 points a night. Motherfucker. Look, bro. Look, and for all the motherfuckers who's saying, yo, he just ran over stats. He was trying to shit on that moment. Let's keep it on
one. Right.
He was trying to shit on that.
It was unnecessary.
Moment. Right. But you know what? This has been an interesting tweet because of all the reactions and everything that came from it. It's been like I said, we always kill all the old heads who, you know, reduce the game and shit on the game because they're so enamored with the past. Like the game has evolved. Like and you know, Shaq is like, back them down, you know, bully ball. That ain't the answer to everything, bro. The game has evolved beyond that. And we kill the old heads for being out of touch and for seeming like they don't love the game. But it's a lot of younger motherfuckers who are so invested in stats and analytics and shit
that they look like they're just the game.
And they look like they don't love the game either. They look like they're just in this shit to prove that they see the game on a more intellectually superior level than other motherfuckers do. So we need to kill the nerds as much as we kill the old heads whenever motherfuckers shit on fun, bro.
Well, here's the thing, we
should have to look at the form of your jumper to see if you can join basketball Twitter.
You know
if you
what?
Shoot with two hands off your fucking chest, you can't say a motherfucking thing, okay?
But there's a lot of media members who are insightful and interesting and who love. I think about Free Darko. Could homie hoop at all? I have no idea. Probably not. You know what I mean, bro? But
he wasn't getting hit in the head during dodgeball, though. But he, like, a lot of these people were, though.
No, but like, my point is, like, to me, it's our guy M. Grads, one of the more controversial dudes who fucks with us on Twitter. He said, and I thought he was exactly right. He said that dunk brought out the two medias. You know, it's two basketball medias. It's people who love the culture and the sport who just said, I mean, because I remember this conversation about Blake Griffin. Blake Griffin, you know, just doing video game dunks and people going, well, until he gets a three ball, you know what I mean? He's not gonna be able to space the floor.
They're saying that about Giannis.
Like, appreciate Giannis needs a three ball. Appreciate an alien doing something you've never seen, you know? Like, and then there's Nate Duncan's, there's dudes like that who is exactly what Tyler just said. It's like, I have my way of seeing it. I feel like my analytical way of seeing it has been disrespected. And I'm not an anti-basketball analytics guy whatsoever. Yeah,
none of us are. Let's be clear on that. I 100%
space for that.
When I see an advanced stat that opens up a door that peels some shit back, I'm like, wow, I fucking love this.
Right. Like, I love but that. This like, is stat basketball.
News, stat but News this, is like one of my favorite fucking Twitter accounts, bro.
But this is basketball, not football. Both teams score 50 times a game, bro. Mm-hmm. If one of those ways they score was an unbelievable dunk, cool. That doesn't need to be in the stat sheet. It's just great. That's the difference between running projections and watching a basketball game.
Right. I feel like it's, do you look at basketball and see art, or do you look at basketball and see an equation? Right. And
that's
Yeah, and you know what? It's there's times
a Tylerism. Hold on, Tyler. Let us appreciate you. Let us get our snaps in, bro.
Hey, post, add this in post, add the clap in post. Do that shit. We need it.
But you know what? You know, there's and you know, y'all know I am not a, you know, both sides, straddle fence motherfuckers. I tell you how it is. You know, y'all know I always pick sides on whatever the fuck. But I do think we need to approach basketball from a perspective where we appreciate the art of it and we appreciate the, you know, the equation part of it, all the invariables coming together to produce this result, right? Like it's like looking at the pyramids, you know, if you only look at it from a mathematical perspective, like, oh, the Egyptians were super mathematical minds who formulated this.
You missed the point of the pyramid.
Right, because it's beautiful, And I feel like if you just see it as beautiful and don't take in all the mathematical shit that had to go into creating this 5,000 years ago, you're missing out on, you're not fully appreciating the pyramids either. And I think that's the way that basketball should be appreciated. Just a good balance of, you know, appreciating what you see with your eyes and also appreciating the shit that stats peel back as well. Because that shit was fucking art, bro.
And how unfortunate is that? Seeing
every
that
photo of it was frameable. Right, there's not right, one right, bad right photo of the dunk.
But how unfortunate is that, seeing that and not seeing the beauty in that moment? Where you, right. I mean, like, when you're just watching it and you're just looking, you're worried. I mean, dude, I feel bad for you if you basketball in the way. You know what I'm saying? You work in the sport and this is how you, bro, you have a regular 9-to-5, bro. You might as well, you know what I'm saying? Go.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You know what I mean? Like I would have thought, I would have thought that one dunk was something that eye test and analysts sort of would have been like, wow, that was fun. Because I thought
and
we're in this shit
for
fun.
Forget the stats.
Right? All three of us are definitely in this shit for fun. I don't think everyone covering the NBA is in it for fun. I think a lot of motherfuckers just flat out do not like the NBA, bro, who cover it.
There's a lot of sports writers. I mean, if you go cover games, you'll see sports writers at every level of sports who – It's like there's a common joke among sports writers where it's like, the only thing I'm rooting for is that the game doesn't go to overtime. Like, people are just worried about deadlines, that they're just like, I'm just trying to like punch the clock. And when JJ and I started out as sports writers, that we heard someone do that one time and we clowned him to his face. And we said to each other, if you ever hear me say some shit like that, make me quit.
Bro,
right.
Because this shit doesn't pay enough. The hours are fucking terrible. If you don't like it, go do literally anything else. Go be a first year high school English teacher and make more money than some of the NBA beat writers. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not a glamorous profession. So if it's not fun to you, why are you doing?
What the fuck are you here for? Right.
If you can't enjoy that dunk, there's a billion other things in the world besides basketball. One of them will make your emotional dick hard. Like, go find that thing. Because you're not getting it right now.
Be a math teacher.
Get summers off. You finish your workday at 3 o'clock. Bro, you know what I mean?
And you can always say, bought the numbers, and it's never weird, okay? Like, bro, we all were having fun, dude.
Listen, if solving for X gives you more satisfaction than seeing that dunk, you in the wrong field, bro.
Right, bro.
Get your ass out. Go pick up some motherfucking substitute teaching spots or something to find your passion.
Now, that literally makes up for a bad game to me. Like, if somebody's having a bad game, and I see them do that dunk, I'm out of my seat, and I forget how trash that of a game he had. And that's what I'm telling people after the game. It's like, you know what I'm saying? That's what we're talking about.
If we're visiting, if the three of us end up in New York, or we end up in somewhere in a friend of ours' city, and he said, hey, let's go see, you know, they say, let's go see a game. What are we hoping to see? You're hoping to see the best efficiency rating that night, or you're hoping to see something that all your friends, you're texting your friends about, that you'll be telling your kids about. You know what I mean? Like, and basketball is the perfect sport for that, because you could be at a park in Long Beach, California, in New York, wherever, and see someone catch a body like that. And you tell your friends about it. You know what I mean? Like, it's that perfect sport, bro. Like, I don't know. That shit drove me crazy. And the last thing I want to say about the analytics comment is they just fired their head coach about 30 seconds before we started the podcast. They fired Ryan Saunders because guess what? When you have a dunk like that, that captures the whole world. All of a sudden, you go, shit, we better go hire our real coach for the future.
for this guy we got, you know what I mean? Like,
we might have a guy here. This motherfucker said he wants to be D-Wade Jr., and he did some D-Wade shit the other night, right? Yeah.
So they just fired Ryan Saunders, started 7:24, and they announced tonight, which this is what's crazy to me. They're like, we're not wasting any time with the interim shit. We are hiring Chris Finch from the Toronto Raptors. We're going to sign him to a contract. That's our new head coach.
We don't want y'all even thinking that. Right. You know what I mean? Stay out of our DMs. Stay out of our email.
That's an anti-tampering move. Right? That's a straight up anti-tampering move. Like, no. Look, bro, we're going to build around you. Like, we got a better coach coming in. Like,
listen, bro. Like, and we all know that the recent coach that got fired was Flip Saunders' son. RIP to Flip Saunders. But do you know how special you got to be for white people to say fuck nepotism and to roll with you and to give you a job? Because, like, that's how special Ant is, bro. They were like, hey, we cannot fuck this up, man.
Hey, yo, Flip, we fuck with you, but we don't fuck with
you.
Yeah,
we love you, Flip, but hey.
But hey, y'all, you saw it, y'all. You saw it, right. You seen it, man. Come on now. You know what I mean? Like, we need a real one for him. You know what I mean? So, but that's funny as hell.
That's a cheat code right there.
Right.
That boy is special, bro.
We had to talk about this because Bron was trending on Twitter, and you know, we are the number one Bron Stan podcast on the internet by far.
LeBron James.
He said something in an interview last week, just a reminder, because he said this before, but he just kind of threw it out there again. Like, you know, I would, if I had tried out for the NFL during the 2011 lockout, I would have been in the NFL.
Is there any doubt of that?
No, who doubts that?
Can we doubt that at all? I don't think there's a doubt in the world.
Who doubts when we have seen Antonio Gates, Tony Gonzalez, fucking Jimmy Graham, dudes who are getting 6 points per game and on the D1 college basketball level, go and be the best fucking football players at their position for years.
Who's doubting LeBron?
I actually...
Wasn't Peppers coming off the bench and alien on the football field?
Right. And he's like a top five D ever.
But look, I actually think people talk about him as a tight end because he's so big, but he was a receiver in high school, and as a junior, they had him at 6'8", 232, running a 4.6 40 without ever having trained to run a 40. Let me give you some.
And let's not even talk about that vert. We've seen Bron look down on the fucking rim.
About the vert. Talk about the hand size. Bro, talk about the intelligence to run routes. He had 1,200 yards.
He could have ran a 6'5 40, bro. Like, throw that motherfucker 40.
Well, but no, this is the thing. Everybody talks about as a tight end. If you look at his comparables with receivers, Calvin Johnson, 6'5", 237, ran a 4.5. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's really, I mean, he's mega bigger strong. And stronger than Larry Fitzgerald, but he's as fast as a lot of these guys, bro. I mean, you know, I don't know that he's going to go and be like an elite speed receiver in the NFL, but I think his 40 time is about what Juju's was in high school. Right. As a Pro Bowl receiver, second year in the league. Like, this dude could probably still get in the NFL.
Imagine giving a sports mind like LeBron, you know, a guy who sees all five moving pieces on the opposition when he's playing basketball. Mm-hmm. Imagine giving that man an option route where he's just got to account for one or two guys and what they're going to do. Like, that motherfucker would be running wide the fuck open.
That's remedial math for every him, play, bro. Right? Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. It's nothing.
I mean, he played quarterback, I believe, his freshman year. And then he just was so big, they were like, bro, go catch the ball.
Yeah, jump balls, dog. Like, air that shit up.
He made the right decision, though. Like,
if no shit. He's
still playing basketball.
Oh, yeah.
You know, forget all the records and all that. Like, you know.
Yeah, and you know what? I was thinking about this. You know, we've seen plenty mediocre, you know, college hoopers go on to be great NFL players. Have you ever seen a mediocre college football player going to be a great NBA basketball player? Because I feel like if you're good enough to be an NBA basketball player, every fucking thing stops. Like, you cannot jeopardize that.
But I was going to say, the most surprising thing to me about Bron's high school stats was that a dude who was tagged by Nike in middle school was playing high school football in 11th grade. I mean, that shit does not happen for dudes on that scale at this point. You know what I mean?
I think he had to fight for that, though. I think he had to fight for that. And finally, they were just like, bro,
you're 6 months away from...
from $100 million, sit your ass down.
Not letting kids in Ohio run at you with helmets on their head.
Dude. Right.
And I'm pretty sure all of us, as you know, worshipers at the altar of Bron, we've all heard the story about Urban Meyer coming out to see 10th grade Bron, and Bron was like, bro, I'm not doing this football shit. I'm going to the NBA. We've heard that, right?
Yes, right. Urban said I would have offered his ass on the spot. Yeah, bro.
Exactly. Urban Meyer was the wide receiver coach at Notre Dame, and he came to, you know, offer Bron, and Bron said, bro, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that college shit or that football shit, basically. Right? Yeah. I'm getting motherfucking $50 million from Nike in 2003 and buying a motherfucking H2, which is like the biggest shit you could have been in 2003.
Didn't he get 100? I thought he had a $190 million contract from Nike.
Was it 190?
No, yeah. It was like 100 or 90, something like that. It was
some big shit.
Yeah.
It was some huge shit.
Well, I mean, especially in 2003.
Yeah, it was definitely some not play football your senior year shit.
Right. it was some good forever in 2003 shit. Like, good three, four, seven, eight generations money.
That man had the finest of flip phones. You know what I mean?
Right. I love that picture. I love that motherfucking picture of Bron at Monday Night Raw.
Right. Hella happy with that little ass phone, dog.
Right. That phone little than the motherfucker.
And we was wearing them big ass jeans. That phone would get lost in them big ass fucking jeans.
bro, you would have to lean your whole side of your body. Juice,
right, you gotta stick your hand into your elbow to get to that joint. You feel me? Come on, man.
That's what my grandpa used to talk about. That every now and then he'd be feeling himself, and he'd like turn the air conditioner on and be like, "The richest man in the world for the first 3,000 years human beings lived did not have this power, you know."
Flexing on all of history.
He said the king of Italy couldn't have done this shit. Right. That's true. I mean, we may not be rich, but we have much nicer phones than LeBron James did in 2003. Right. You know what I mean?
Oh, man.
Jenkins and Jones is proud to be presented by FanDuel. Never played FanDuel Fantasy before? Great! Exclamation point. FanDuel is offering up to a $500 bonus instantly when you make your first deposit with our 20% deposit match. Why do you play on FanDuel? FanDuel Fantasy is an easy app to use. That's why I use it. I like that you can pick a new team every game. And I like competing for cash payouts because cash payouts are fun. FanDuel is offering new users a deposit match of up to $500 when you make your first deposit. Go to FanDuel.com/cowherd for more info. FanDuel.com/cowherd. FanDuel, more ways to win. All right. Speaking of football, we have a clip. We're gonna listen to this clip real quick of a kid at Cam Newton's football camp, a kid whose family paid money for him to be at Cam Newton's football camp. heckling Cam Newton. Take a listen.
You ass. You're a free agent. You're a free agent.
I'm rich.
You're a free agent.
I'm rich.
You're about to be poor.
I'm rich.
You're about to be poor.
I'm rich.
You're about to be poor.
I'm rich.
You're a free agent.
I'm rich.
You're a free agent.
I'm rich. He's a free agent.
Where's your daddy at? Let me talk to your dad. Let me talk to your dad. Where's your dad?
You're a free agent.
Where's your dad?
You're a free agent.
You're
a free agent. You ass.
Talk to him. Let me talk. Where's your dad? Where's your pop?
You ass.
Where's your dad?
So what did you guys think of this?
I'm going to use some Gen Z terminology here.
And oh,
I think
Lord.
That young man was clout chasing.
I mean, he was clout chasing too. And people were talking about these kids these days. I knew a couple kids that would do that shit back in 2001 too. It's not
what
these days. It's a particular kid.
Yeah, what 15-year-olds aren't disrespectful? Let's
it's a type of right. kid. Let's I would have done it, but there's types of kids in every generation. That would have done that shit. Yeah. So let's get past that.
Yeah, let's not lock and not act like our generation was out here churning butter and fucking, you know, going to Sunday school instead of shitting on old people whenever adults whenever we had their chance. But yeah, it was just you know, and a lot of another motherfucking angle motherfuckers were coming from was on some. How is he talking about being rich to kids, bro? You're at a camp. Right, like your camp. The whole point of this shit is this motherfucker saying, "Yo, I am successful. I signed $100 million, bro, in the NFL. That's where you trying to get at, right?" So right. Yes, him saying, "Tell motherfuckers I'm rich." That's completely imbalanced, and I think it's completely imbalanced all the time, either because if you're rich, shit on motherfuckers if they ever try to shit on you.
And I think whether he's 15 or 50.
Yeah, exactly. Anybody can get
right. They're on a football field. That's the most basic thing you'd have said, nigga. I'm rich. You were free agent. I'm also rich.
$100 million deal, bro.
That.
You know how much this stupid fucking glasses I have cost, bro? Like these did not come from Lens Crafters.
Rent, dog. You feel me? I'm rich. Now let me now soak this game up. You know, I'm never forget. You know what I mean? So I get it. I don't think it was that big of a deal. I love seeing Cam talking to him afterwards. And then you see, like, you know, the kid trying to, you know, I mean, we young. Y'all kids do that type of shit, trying to keep going with it. Kids like, I'm trying to be serious. Yeah. Like, what did you do? Like, let's talk about this. You know.
Well,
I mean?
that's why I like Cam's response to the kid. You know, you heard in the clip saying like, let me talk to your dad. And he wasn't saying in a threatening way. It's like, how about you and me and your dad go talk? Because I want to make sure you're understanding what's happening here, and that the next time you cross paths with someone who has the job you want to have,
this ain't
you
the
use
way.
The opportunity a little bit better than you're using it now.
Exactly. Cam wanted to turn that into a learning lesson for that young man, and he wasn't trying to hear that. As most young people aren't trying to hear when older people try to, you know, teach them some shit.
Well, and listen, I mean, we have a ton of dudes from Long Beach who've been in the NFL. Most of them at this point have come back and done free. You know, they do free camps. They don't do the paid camps because we don't. It's not a good business proposition to come to Long Beach and do paid camps for these kids. But I was thinking about that when I was watching this, because these dudes, we're always so happy when they come back. It's like, you're rich. You could be doing a lot of shit with your Saturday and Sunday. And you come out here to hang out with kids who are in the situation you were growing up. Right. But they are looking for those moments. They're looking for that kid. Jarrell Casey, who's a Pro Bowler with the Titans, did that. He said he asked the high school coaches, who's the talented kid with the fucked up grades? Like, send him over here to talk to me while I'm eating lunch. You know what I mean?
That's real.
But I do want to say about the Gen Z stuff, the kids are wilder now than they were before.
They are?
Yes.
Are we just older? Are we just older?
No. It's the difference now is a kid will tell you, hey, man, I looked up to you all my life, and then make a crazy joke in your face. You know what I mean? Like, even the serious kids, because it is now the clout chasing thing is different now. Like, it's because we all grew up with a kid that would have made that joke to Cam Newton.
But
there's more of those kids now that you're going to end up on fucking SportsCenter, which SportsCenter is literally tweeting about that.
Exactly. Like, bro, when you're 15, you do shit to impress other 15-year-olds. Like, if this was a no cell phone policy camp, that shit probably doesn't even happen.
100%.
Bro.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that in a negative way. I'm not saying it in a negative or a judgmental way. It's just the incentives for the kids now. Like, it's the same way you'll see old basketball heads talk about this all the time, that kids don't mind getting dunked on anymore because they're still going viral. You know what I mean? Like,
I mean,
it's just the media attention and the way that they can put themselves out there with stuff is just it is different now. And as Tyler's pointed out, these kids now, they grew up in the internet.
Yeah.
There is no pre-internet to these kids. Mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. they're growing up in the what are those fucking world where everything they've seen is people getting famous off of making fun of other people and stuff like that.
He might have been in the gym when old boy was like, what are those? Saw what happened to him. Some of that. They probably around the same age now. we need to do a this is a show idea. Maybe I shouldn't say this shit out loud, but finding these old internet sensations and saying, what if, like, what happened to the what are those kid? Do we know?
Because that motherfucker's a legend.
Right, he's a legend. What are those?
That motherfucker had MJ flummoxed. Right. Michael Jordan didn't know what the fuck. He'd be like, what are those? What does that mean?
Michael Jordan is like Jordans, bro. Like the dude that wore Jordans while hooping is a
people our age cannot imagine us 15 years old in fucking 1990, whatever, saying that's MJ. And but to these kids, that's just like MJ's just a dude, you know?
But what I mean? The thing is though. He had on some what are those?
He did.
Like
he the kids are not lying.
The and
kids
the thing is, when he was our age, standards. He didn't have on what are those?
Yeah.
Like he had on the shits that everybody.
He had on. Yeah, right. He had on some.
We knew what he had on.
He had on some Concords and some 13s or some shit.
A solid question. What are those motherfucking shoes you got on? Because we do not know. It was a hell of a question. He just had the cojones to ask. So like, bro, you got you got all these fire ass shoes and dudes are waiting overnight to cop, bro. You know what I'm saying? Like, are you wearing these? Whose man's is this? And what are those on his feet? You feel me? What happened to that kid? He's probably very successful. We had a cojones to ask a question everybody needed to ask. You know what I'm saying? Put him in the media scrum. Hey, you feel me?
Out of the mouth of babes, as they say.
Right. Who asked the hard-hitting question?
Oh, that's the thing about the Gen Z. I mean, it's just like, 15-year-olds have always been right. You know what I mean? They're just more willing to tell you the truth now.
This kid wasn't right, though.
No, but the reason he got under his skin a little bit, Cam didn't have a great year. He's still out here volunteering, and he's going after him for not having a contract.
That's the thing. I think it was disrespectful if you're someone trying to get to where Cam has been to say that to Cam. But Cam has been kind of... But it wasn't a 15-year-old's place at Cam's camp to say that to him. So I'll say that.
So...
Here's what I say.
The truth, then you're saying.
Here's
15-year-olds always. 15-year-olds don't lie when they slander you, bro. They're pulling out some real shit.
No, the best jokes are true. They're always telling the truth. That's what I'm saying. They're just more willing to do it at any given place. But I've had kids who they send us an email saying, "Oh, we look up. Thanks for could you be my mentor? We look up to you so much. We're like, yeah, absolutely. I'll help you with your class. You know, whatever. We'll come speak to your class." And then you go on IG Live and, you know, they get the comments. And they're going crazy. You're like, what the fuck is going on, bro? I'm telling you, man.
Motherfucking media superstar Mike Gardy telling us something we would never experience. But
I'm just saying this generation will get after you. They do not give a fuck, bro.
Yeah, I actually like that part, though. I like the fact that, you know what I'm saying? But like you said, this was.
I don't mind it at all either.
This wasn't the one.
And what I said about the Cam shit was if it was my son, I would have talked to him about it on the way home. But if I'd have been standing there, I would have been like probably laughing with the kid. Like, look at this crazy fucking kid. You know what I mean?
I'm definitely not a respect your elders type motherfucker, but I am a respect people who have achieved what you are trying to achieve person, I guess.
I think for sure. I feel that.
The guy's volunteering. So at least respect that. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, a lot of times older people be on some fuck shit. So call that out too. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Respect people that are respectable. In this situation, Cam was definitely respectable. You know what I'm saying?
Cam's a good dude, bro.
I love Cam. I fuck him. He make the best content on social for me. I love his little
with
page,
that motherfucking wing
talking that shit. You know what I mean?
That motherfucking font that looked like the goddamn
Canterbury Tales.
It's something above and beyond wing dance.
That shit is. That shit makes my
Ryan the Witch in the Wardrobe ass fucking font, whatever that.
That
fuck
font that should come with a scroll that you got on roll, bro. That shit is medieval as fuck. That shit, Dark Ages than a.
Oh shit.
That font was invented in 1175. That went away for 1,000 years.
Right. Until Cam found that shit.
That is. That is the font that they typed obituaries up of from the Black Death on, bro. Right. Like, he got some medieval shit going on with that shit, dog.
All right, before we get to our new segment, we do retractions and corrections because we're not too proud to admit when we fucked up. And I fucked up and I threw John an alley-oop on the wrong basket.
I was mad. I felt like we jumped the wrong dude. I felt, I'm like, damn, I done stole off on the wrong man.
I don't know where this came from. I'm confident it was my fault, but I don't know where it came from. But it was not Jay Billis who was using the word coward to describe his situation. Who? What was the name of the guy?
It was a fucking basketball blog. And let's not even give them any.
You're right. It was some bullshit.
But Jay Billis has always been a pay the players guy. He's on our side on this. Jay Billis, if you heard this, or I'm sure you fucking didn't, but we still apologize.
We take it back. I take it back. Yeah. I take back what I made John say.
I was so hot, bro. I was like, point me at him.
But I remember,
bothered me though.
But that's why I was confused about having thought that it was Jay Billis, because I've always known him to be, especially in college basketball, one of the few dudes who's usually on the right side of shit. You know what I mean? So my bad.
I thought about that, but then I thought about when he was copy and pasting lyrics, and I was like,
oh, he got caught up.
Right. The true Jay Billis came out now. You know what I mean? My wrong. My bad, though.
Our other retraction and correction. You guys have anything to say about this Arby's Meat Mountain situation, bro?
Hey, bro. Bro, I'm going to call bullshit. That sandwich looks horrendous. It's a terrible idea. But I mean, like, dog, like, what I go eat, I'm not eating that. You know, I stay far away from that. Yeah, right, I stick to what's good. That's an abomination. And somebody asked, they were like, when are we gonna talk about Americans' like obsession with meat? And that's true. How could one of those sell in any country? How can one of those you see that? How do you go and you think I'm gonna eat that? You know what I mean? Meat on meat on meat on more meat. Like that looks stressful.
It should have sold like zero. Work. Yeah. Yes. I agree with you.
As a staunch Arby's supporter, I would like to say that in a circumstance like this, silence is compliance. And I want the record to indicate that I do not condone nor do I stand by the Meat Mountain. I respect Arby's. I admire Arby's deeply.
This dude wrote some shit down. Is hollow. He pulled the scroll out.
I'm freestyling. Yeah, but respect without accountability is hollow.
You can see his eyes moving across the screen. Like they sent him this right there.
No. I am not turning my back on Arby's. I am still behind Arby's, but I am pushing them to do better. The Meat Mountain is not it.
It ain't it. It
and that's ain't it. It is not it. I cannot endorse that.
Bro. And this is how I knew he did it off the top of his head, because I didn't even tell you guys I was gonna put that shit in the podcast, bro. I thought Tyler was gonna say that, like, at the Richmond Arby's, the Meat Mountain is like an actual mountain you can live on or something.
Like. I am a Arby's. Look, y'all know I call the bullshit when I see the bullshit, and that sandwich is some bullshit. No.
I would say generally, as an American human being, I would love it if we could stop with the novelty sandwiches, because they're not, Arby's is not the only company guilty of this shit. But every time I see when I was in high school, I used to eat all that shit, bro. Like, oh, it's something nasty just came out. I got to get it into my order.
I need that.
Bacon, you know, ultimate cheeseburger times two. Like, I gotta put that in my fucking arteries as fast as possible. But it's just, it's so bad.
I was a big chicken whopper dude too. I fucked with that chicken whopper, bro. I was addicted for like probably 6.5 months. Like, I would shoot a chicken whopper in the veins if I could. So yeah. But now, you know what I mean? Now, come on, man. You know, you only need like 3 or 4 different options. You know what I mean? We keep it in the stack.
All right, now we're going to bust out our new segment, the group chat.
Will somebody answer that damn phone?
Do you know what time it is? It's time for the group chat.
shout out to Adam for doing the audio for the new group chat segment, which I hope was just there and which is cool, even though we did not open the email to listen to it. So we fuck with Adam and we appreciate.
That was the best shit I ever heard. Thank you, Adam.
That I didn't hear.
The group chat is, it's been brought up to us by several people that we often say we were talking about something in the group chat. So we had ideas for a bunch of different like fun segments, and we, instead of just naming all of them individually, sometimes Tyler's going to talk about history. Sometimes I'm going to bring up some science shit or whatever, or we're going to argue about stuff. We're just going to say it's the group chat. So there you go. It's the group chat.
It is.
And in the group chat this weekend, we were talking about John's terrible food opinion.
I'm just not a fan of pizza. I think it's overrated. I mean, you got to think about this, dude. Like, it's cheese and meat. I get it or whatever. You know what I mean? But like, it's like, bro, people are getting this shit tattooed on their bodies. Is it really that good?
Yes.
I mean, bro, to me, like, most of the pizza I've ever eaten is too greasy in the middle. I'm not a big fan. Ever since, me and pizza have had problems since high school. This isn't an old person shit thing either. Like, I remember, like, pizza would be too greasy and I would, like, throw the shit up. Like, the oil in it is not, it ain't it. If I eat pizza, the pizza that I like is generally artisanal. You know what I mean? I need artisan pizza. If it's made how they make it back where Mike came from, back home in Sicily.
Bro, you
I'm fucking with it. But you, extra shit, bro, it's good on it, dog.
You St. Louis to the core, but you've been a Cali motherfucker your whole life. Artisanal pizza.
Like, I said artisanal because I like the word, bro. I like St. Louis pizza because it's thin crust. You know what I mean? Like, I like the thin crust. And artisanal pizza, like, it's not thick. Like, all this extra bread and dummy ass cheese. Like, really? There's so many good things. Like, is it?
What do you
like,
mean you by artisanal pizza, bro?
You said what?
What do you mean by artisanal pizza?
Made in a traditional manner.
What,
you know what I'm saying?
What do you mean?
In the fucking, when you, what's that big wood ass
fire?
Stone?
Run me that.
And it's thinner. It's thinner than like that big heavy ass shit you get from fucking all over. I'm not with it, dog.
So you need the charcoal dust on the.
I need pizza the way pizza was supposed to be made. The way it was brought to the earth. You feel me? Give me that. I'm fucking with it. Other than that, honestly, bro, it's a cap.
I can honestly say that you are the first person who I ever heard who used the greasiness of pizza as a minus.
That shit.
Like, I love greasy.
Literally sick.
Like, he was like, I hate watching LeBron James. He dunks too hard. Like,
right? Come on. Like, don't compare me to that, to old boy.
Bro, when
I beseech you in that comparison.
Bro, when a slice of pizza that you fold up, it gets that fucking crevice of orange oil. That's when you know you cook
that orange grease. Oh,
that's the best.
It's sexual.
Grease.
It's sexual.
God, bro, like there's oxtails out here. There's Jamaican oxtail plates with rice and peas. No.
John, you're saying that you think
there's fucking Vietnamese meals.
You think the most ordered food in the world is overrated.
Yes. That's what I believe.
Is there not a late night 3 a.m. pizza spot in y'all cities that everybody goes to? And
of course there is.
Yes. In Richmond, it's the pizza place right across the street from Have a Nice Day Cafe that's been shut down for years. My Richmond motherfuckers know what I'm talking about. And that's the best pizza in the city. And oh my God, it's even fucking better at 3 a.m. when you're drunk. And I cannot believe that you are fucking denigrating all the joy that place has brought me. Over there.
I love that word.
There's three pizza places that every real city has. You have the late night pizza spot everyone goes to drunk and high. Mm-hmm. You have the college pizza spot that's cheap as fuck that you have fond memories of, even though it's not really as good as you remember it being because you were just poor and hungry when you were in college. And you have the fancy hipster fucking pizza spot with the wood fired ovens,
right?
And the shit costs way too much fucking money, but it's delicious, and the delicious oil, the grease looks so fucking good. You just have to get the shit every now and then.
Right, bro. Right. That motherfucking artistic pizza with the big ass mozzarella clumps in that motherfucker, where you got like a pizza like 6-7 white blocks on that motherfucker. Yes, absolutely.
And those are basically three completely different types of pizza, but it's my three favorite types of food, bro. Mm-hmm.
I know nobody's going to agree with me on this. I'm not trying to persuade anybody. I just personally feel like this shit is overrated. Like, you getting this shit tattooed on your body. It's like, bro, it's not. There's so many other foods that are way better than it.
A slice of pizza never got you through a hangover.
Yeah, I mean, dude, if I'm drunk, I'm eating anything, bro.
A hangover, like waking up.
I honestly, I'll be keeping a stack. I've never had a hangover. I think maybe never. I've had one once. What happens for me if I get super drunk? I throw up, and then I'll be a little nauseated. But I don't get the headache and can't look in the lights and all that shit. I don't get that.
I've also never had a hangover, although it's less notable for me than for John because I don't drink. Right? But but pizzas have still gotten me through similar situations. Like I tweeted about it, and I got great engagement on this tweet, John.
Good job. I'm happy for you.
That I'd stayed up all night working, and we went to the hipster spot. We had the pepperoni that cups. You get the grease just sitting in the fucking pepperoni. Oh. A spot called Little Coyote in Long Beach. Yes. And I tweeted a picture of the pizza. I said, I stayed up all night working. I'm going to eat this shit around 6 o'clock in the evening and just pass the fuck out for like 20 hours, bro. And it was the best. I mean, it's just pizza tastes better the worse your life is going, bro. It's a, you know what I mean? It's a unique thing in that regard.
I used to love pizza. I was happy on Fridays when we ordered it at, you know, like a little pizza. I used to be a big fan of the pizza when they had the fucking, the buffet. I was, that was damn, the pizza buffet was so fire. That was damn, that was a date spot. Like, let's go to the pizza buffet in like college, high school. But bro, like, I just don't need it no more. I eat pizza maybe once a year, maybe twice. It's unnecessary.
I put you onto my pizza spot in the Bay too, didn't I?
Oh, and that, bro, the only time I eat pizza is when I go to that spot. And that motherfucker is fire. And that's the only time I eat pizza. I ordered a pizza, like, the last time I went when I got pizza was from your spot. Then this time, like maybe like 3 weeks ago, I ordered a pizza, ate three pieces, threw the whole pizza out. I'm like, fuck this shit, bro.
You need.
I really don't like, the only pizza I like is that pizza and this spot off of Melrose and Highland, and they pull that motherfucker right out the what's the name?
The wood fire joint.
You need to listen to Mike Moore because you've been eating that St. Louis pizza that's like pizza on crackers and shit. That Vancouver shit.
He's been eating the ketchup on saltines.
You never had. I agree with you, Tyler. Tyler, you ate pizza in when you came to St. Louis.
No, I haven't.
Right.
I know, but I have had thin crust.
It's like Popeyes, man. It's St. Louis pizza is better in St. Louis. You know, Emo's is only. I don't know. Emo's exists outside of St. Louis.
Okay. I am not going to shit on St. Louis pizza if I haven't had St. Louis pizza.
However, you
shitting on all pizza. You're shitting on all pizza is something I cannot stand.
No, I'm just saying, bro.
Like, bro, it has to be really good for it to be really good to me. You know what I mean? Like, the best pizza places are good to me. Outside of that, like, I'm not just pulling up at a fucking, like, no, I don't need it. We know we got other things for that.
I'm good on the opposite end because I feel like it's so hard to make terrible pizza. Like even when I was broke, like Little Caesars, that shit hit the spot when I was a broke motherfucker. And that is terrible pizza, but it's still good pizza.
I haven't had Little Caesars in quite a while. I did throw up.
You know
up
how to pronounce
little,
it. That's how you. That's
I
how
did. I did throw up off little, some Little Caesars in high school. Yeah, I have not had any Little Caesars since then. But but we had a place in Long Beach right next to the college that was as cheap as Little Caesars. So you go. You could get a large pizza with pepperoni for $5, bro.
Yeah.
Damn,
bro.
Yeah,
I see CC's too. I go to CC's back in college. As I've gotten older, it's like. It's not that big a deal, bro.
When
I've got like waves of cheese coming off of pizza tattooed on their body, I'm cool on that.
Listen,
it's not
bro.
Necessary. It's not all that. You feel me?
When I lived in North Carolina, damn near every laundromat I went to had a Little Caesars attached because they were like, if you can't afford to buy a fucking washer and dryer in your apartment, I know you are living day to day when it comes to sustenance and food and staying alive. Come get a $5 pizza. So yeah.
And stack the boxes up to use as furniture if you need to. You know what I mean? Like
boxes.
All right. Are we done talking about pizza?
I mean, dude, like pizza held me down for a long time. I respect that.
I appreciate you saying that. I appreciate you saying that, you know, it's a trash opinion. No one's going to agree.
Yeah, bro. Like, I stand on PB&J. I stand on Rat vs. Squirrel. When it comes to this, I know people aren't going to agree. It's cool. It's just my personal opinion. And I'm willing to put myself out there to be.
Yeah, I maintain. I think that you are just lactose intolerant, bro.
Bro, I eat ice cream all the time.
Some people, it's just cheese. Some people, it's just milk. Lactose intolerant. And trust me, as an Italian man, I would tell you, we have all different kinds of lactose intolerance in and around my family.
You've
bro.
Experienced it all.
Some people can eat nothing but cheese. Some people, if they have a sip of milk, is going to be fucking detrimental to the plumbing system.
And my lactose intolerance did get worse at one point. I have a story that I will tell y'all off joint. It got ugly.
Yeah, but yes, listen to Mike here, because Italian motherfuckers will marinate veal and milk and then put cheese on top of that.
Oh, no.
They know what they're doing, bro.
That made my head hurt.
All right, we can talk about WandaVision.
Just fucking
go ahead.
It was Agatha all along. I told you.
Bro, that's didn't Todd, y'all both said that.
I told you I wasn't going for the motherfucking red herring where they act like she didn't know. I was like, she's all in on this shit. And for the people who don't know, Agatha Harkness is like, she's like Mephisto's fucking.
She's a witch.
Yes, she's a witch and like Mephisto's fucking right-hand woman. And, you know, I can honestly say I'm a bit shocked that like the first Disney Marvel series is like, yo, there is a fucking witch who's like cool with Satan who's running this shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, right, like you come off Baby Yoda to this shit? Like, that's a shift, bro. That is a motherfucking shift. But yeah, you know what I love the most about this episode though was you know, I think we for people who aren't familiar, because there's a lot of introduction to new characters. And Monica Rambeau is going to be motherfucking Photon, right?
I'm so excited for that shit.
I am too. And they set it up by, you know, telling us that coming in and out of the hex alters your molecular structure. But they like laid that shit all in line when she had the fucking superhero fall down and the fucking blue electricity running through her eyes and her fist and shit. And I was like, yes, this is my fucking moment. I love this shit.
Yeah. It was so fucking sweet. And I also, the other thing you mentioned that like, you know, there's a satanic tie-in. I was just surprised because, like you said, the first show is Mandalorian, which is, okay, you've got a Mandalorian who is like, for casual Star Wars fans like myself, you're like, oh, isn't that like the Boba Fett shit? Yeah,
right.
And then you got Baby Yoda. You have a cute version of one of your most popular characters. Right. And then they go to WandaVision, which is probably the two least popular or given a shit about Avengers characters.
Right.
And then you have the big twist be a very obscure character. Like Char, my wife she's a comic, like she's read as many comics, she's read a shitload of comic books. Agatha Harkness is not like a prominent character whatsoever. I don't think she'd ever heard of her before. So yeah. I was surprised with that too. Like your big reveal could potentially have just left a lot of people like, what the fuck are they talking about?
Right. Like, bro, they went from, you know, a Boba Fett, you know, taking care of Yoda and everybody fucking knows them, you know, just the new generation. They went from that to motherfucking, like, bro, the fucking devil's right-hand woman is altering the reality of a woman who was grieving through death and trauma. Like, like that's a dog.
And, like, torturing her with her dead brother and, right.
And she is presenting you false representation of your dead brother that you grew up fucking eating breadcrumbs with in fucking Cold War Eastern Europe.
Yeah, bro.
Right? Like, that's a shift, dude. And props to Marvel for you know, trusting their audience enough to roll the dice on that shit because, yeah.
And also, shout out to the endless creativity of the internet. All of the Agatha All Along remixes were fucking slappers, bro.
That, for one, that motherfucker was catchy as hell to begin with, like the OG version. The motherfucking spinoff of the Munster shit. But yeah, that shit was fire.
I loved it. All right. Well, we got, is it two episodes left of that show?
Yeah.
Okay, two episodes left. John,
I watched it very high.
So you had no idea what the fuck was happening.
It's a very pretty show aesthetically. And that's all I got.
How do y'all think it's going down? How do y'all think it's going down? Because I do think that Wanda and Monica are going to team up. I think that if you team up Wanda, Monica, and Vision against Agnes, that's a no contest, nothing interesting there. So I think that Vision might be on Agnes's side when all this shit kind of
boils no down. Way. I thought Agnes was trying to keep Vision from coming, wasn't it? I mean, he thought it was Wanda, but I think it was Agnes.
Think of this. Why has Agnes been putting all these fucking buds and these buzzes in Vision's ear that this shit isn't real? Like, remember when Vision was outside and that weird neighbor was chainsawing through their fucking fence?
Right.
And Agnes was there and she like kind of hinted to how strange shit is.
Yes.
And then when Agnes came in the house, like, do you want me to redo it? Do you want me to go out and come back in while Vision was there?
Right. So she told him that he was an Avenger, knowing that Wanda had wiped all his memories of all that shit, of dying and everything. Yeah, for sure.
Exactly. So Vision is someone who will side with logic above all else. And if Agnes presents a more logical case than Wanda does, it's going to be a fucking problem.
It's going to be very interesting. And I'm very curious to see if they tell us, like, who did what. Because it's clearly Wanda brought Vision back and sort of started the thing. But so then where does Agatha come in? And I mean? Like, what's the end game? Because I don't think they're going to do the Mephisto shit. And I think they did one twist that might lose people already. I don't see them doing another big one like that.
Yeah.
But I don't know, man. I mean, they've been rolling the dice and hitting.
Is she teamed up with the military dude? Is she teamed up with him?
Nah, not at all.
Agatha
would never partner with a human. She's fucking
all these people.
Yeah. Agatha is a fucking demigod. This pretty much. So yeah.
So we'll see. I'm excited. I'm very excited. And then we're gonna roll right into you guys. Is Snowfall back this week?
Yep.
Wednesday.
Snowfall's on Wednesday. And then basically as soon as the fucking WandaVision is over, I think Disney Plus has the new Boba Fett show and then the like rated R fucking Falcon Winter Soldier shit, which I'm very curious to see how far.
Put that bionic arm to work. Like I said, rip some fucking limbs off of that motherfucker. You got an
arm. Netflix.
Netflix is doing movies now, right? They have a new movie every week this year. I haven't really heard about any of them going crazy though. Yeah. Interesting.
Maybe a year from now it'll be a more interesting conversation.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Well, before we get out of here, we have to plug, and we're gonna hype this shit up like this is the fucking Super Bowl, bro. Tyler is competing in a drunk spelling bee.
That is incredible.
Oh yeah.
Okay. What's the details? It's Friday, right?
Yeah, it's gonna be this Friday. 6 p.m. Pacific time, so 9 p.m. Eastern. Shouts to the homie Fake Mike Malloy. He set the shit up. So I'm gonna get drunk and I'm gonna spell the fuck out some words, man. Fuck with me. Just stay tuned to my feed. I'm gonna be posting, retweeting all that shit. So yeah, we're gonna get drunk and goddamn.
I'm gonna live tweet it. I'm gonna live tweet the shit from the Jenkins and Jones account. I'm gonna talk talking fat shit to all the other contestants, bro. I'm gonna be examining footage to see, is this person really drunk? Are they full of shit?
I feel like not being drunk is like a PED in this, because you need to be fucking, a step behind everybody else too. Right, you need to come back here with us, dog.
I'm definitely gonna
be drunk for that shit.
Some sneaky little motherfucker is gonna be in there with some carbonated apple juice.
Motherfucker will have a headphone.
And you're gonna find him, Mike. Mike is on the case, you feel me?
We can only have, it's not a real competition unless there's integrity in the drunkenness of the spelling bee contestants. Yes. I know Tyler will be drunk. Will be drunk for this shit, bro.
Oh, we know Tyler, yeah. Yes. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Drunkenness is a fun to you. It's not the spelling bee. You know what I mean? You're just going to be having to spelling words. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm just there to, get drunk and talk some shit, for real. Like, I don't give a fuck where I do want to win.
Who are you competing against?
It's laid out in the tweet. It's like some stand-up comedians and shit. So
okay.
But yeah, it's gonna be fun, man.
It's Mike Malloy's group, Faded. That's his like his comedy show that he does in LA, which I've been meaning to go to, but then
I've been to a couple.
The world shut down. Yeah, for sure.
Funny as hell.
No, they're great. Yeah, he does a great job putting shit together. So I'm excited for that. Definitely check Tyler's social media. And again, the Jenkins and Jones account will be fucking all wall to wall drunk spelling bee coverage.
Drunk spelling bee contest.
Starring Dragonfly Jones.
Dragonfly Jones. Put an explosion on that motherfucker audio. we gonna work y'all tonight, but yeah.
All right, y'all. I think that's it. We'll be back on Thursday. Come back and get ready. Get ready for the fucking spelling bee. Get
fucking spelling.
All right, y'all.
All right. We did it again.
We did it. Another pod.